The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Notice the silence. There's a reason for this. In fact, I'm practicing it right now. Okay, here's the backdrop. I had a meeting last week with my bosses over at EWTN. And then my bosses at Ave Maria Radio. This is a co-production of those two groups, you know. And one of the feedbacks they gave me was, you're just not sounding smart enough. We really would wish there would be a bit more wisdom on your program. Now, I'm thinking, how do I do this? I'm giving it everything I got. That's all I got. I'm using the upper limits of my IQ. Then I decided, and I think it worked because I was practicing it just when the show started. It's easy to sound smarter. All I do is think of something really dumb to say, and then I don't say it. Addition by subtraction. Sure, if I would have said it, it would have sounded dumb, and I wouldn't have sounded as smart, but I didn't say it. So by extension, I was smarter. This is easy. I hope they're satisfied. I think that's a very smart way to approach it. Glad to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program here is The Doctor Is In. I'm going to do my very best to be smart. Oh, which means I'll be at just an enormous amount of silence on this program, where I'm thinking of all kinds of dumb things to say, which come naturally, and then I will just keep them to myself. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get on to the program. I'm a psychologist. That's my profession. That's what I do. So, therapy or all the various types of things that professional psychologists do on the program is mostly education. I'm not going to diagnose anything here. And I'm certainly not going to step in any other therapist's turf. But we can talk. We can educate, hopefully, something that I say smart. And if you call and I'm silent, then you'll know I'm thinking of dumb things and I just didn't say them. And therefore, you can go away feeling a little more guided. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. You'll get Eric Dumont to call Screamer. And I heard that. You'll get Eric Dumont to call Screamer, and he will take your call. Now, I got some back stuff I got to deal with. Let me read to you this. One of the things that you folks are absolutely delightful about, you're very, very, very helpful. People send me all kinds of things via email regarding articles, potential books, various kinds of insights, personal insights they offer me. And then I steal them and then use them to sound smarter. This one came. And okay, let me give a little backdrop on this. I've gotten in trouble in the past, hard to believe, when I have raised questions about the various aspects of the COVID narrative response as it has gone on. I didn't necessarily dispute, although that could be implied, but I raised a lot of questions. And the questions were raised, I think, were legitimate, and they had their own research backing them up. It wasn't that they just flew straight into the face of all the researchers out there. The science is settled. You know, that's really a shaky statement to make. Science progresses. It goes by question and answering. It goes by experimenting. It goes by exploring. And it finds often that it wasn't right to begin with. So, This was sent to me. By the way, in raising those questions, believe it or not, there were people who were quite upset with me. A couple of them even said, I'm not listening to your show anymore. Why? Because it just raised some questions. And the reason that I deal with this is not to argue necessarily so much about COVID itself. It is to talk about the response and the unintended effects and the invisible victims, which are now rife. There's no doubt about that. The research has just come in every which way but loose. This was sent to me. Questioning and doubting what is going on these days does not make you anti anything, nor does it make you a conspiracy theorist. Actually, questioning is and should be the place of reason. The fact that questioning has now become taboo should send a chill up everyone's spine. Yupper. Now, here's what happened yesterday. Sadly, the COVID response has brought out a lot of ugliness in people. And it's brought out a lot of ugliness in Christians. I would say in some respects brought out the worst in some people. In terms of breaking up families, in terms of severe isolation, in terms of people not wanting to be around people, in just so many ways. I can understand a lot of this from the secular society. Their view is this is all life is, and anything that even smells like a risk, you better just avoid it like the plague. Sorry, no pun intended. But Christians, I'm been stunned at seeing some of the response from supposedly charitable people to folks who disagree with them. Now, one of the new conflicts that is separating people is the vaccine. Do you take it? Don't you take it? Now, I think it's safe to say, and the surveys will support this, that those who call themselves traditionally religious are at a higher percentage wary of the vaccine. And some have moral reasons. Those who would not consider religion all that important in their lives would, at a very high percentage, say, give me the vaccine and give it to me fast. Okay, so that's just another area of difference. And unfortunately, that area of difference has really brought out an awful lot of nastiness in people. I got a letter emailed yesterday basically said, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay. So, we had some calls, and the calls were essentially saying, I've got some reluctancies about this vaccine from a moral perspective. Or I've got relatives who totally disagree with my stance on the vaccine, and it's causing friction. It's not a matter of, okay, this is your decision. I don't agree with it, but it's your decision. You have the right to make it. No, it is you're an evil person. Coming from Christians. This is an article sent to me by my lovely wife, because every so often she listens to the program. And she used to make the kids listen to it when they were being punished. This is from Father Tad Poholchik. Father Tad is at the National Catholic Bioethics Center. It is recognized as a very faithful, orthodox approach to Catholic morality. So, the question: must Catholics refuse a COVID-19 vaccine with a cell line from an abortion? He begins. In the wake of announcements from multiple pharmaceutical companies about safe and effective COVID-19 vaccines, many are expressing ethical doubts about whether it is okay to take these vaccines. Do Catholics have a moral duty to decline an inoculation if it was unethically produced using a cell line that came from an abortion? Father Tad says, the short answer is no. In other words, you don't have an ethical duty to refuse. This has been discussed and explained in several magisterial church documents in recent years. 2008, for example, The Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith reminded us in the instruction, Dignitas Personae, that, quote, grave reasons may be morally proportionate to justify the use of such biological material, end quote. Thus, for example, danger to the health of children could permit parents to use a vaccine which was developed using cell lines of illicit origin, while keeping in mind that everyone has the duty to make known their disagreement and to ask that their healthcare system make other types of vaccine available. This happened with Shingrix. Okay, therefore, I would not take the shingles vaccine because of how it was made. But then Shingrix came out, which was certainly morally illicit, so I took it. For serious reasons, therefore, Catholics may receive a COVID-19 vaccine having an association with abortion. And a serious reason could include a threat to one's health and well-being. Those who are elderly or who face comorbidities like diabetes or other significant health conditions are among the highest risk groups for adverse outcomes from infection. And we clearly have a serious reason. Below is information comparing some of the COVID-19 vaccine candidates that may become available in the U.S. in terms of their association with abortion-derived cell lines. Okay, see, I'm going to hold them up. See, you got them there? Can you see that? Okay. I'll summarize it. There's a bunch of them. There's like, just quick look here. It looks like there's about 12 or more. Vaccines from Moderna and Pfizer are likely to be among the first to receive approval in the U.S. And, ready? Do not rely on cell lines from abortions in the manufacturing process. Nobody, they don't use cell lines to make these vaccines. As such, they appear to be good candidates for Catholics to use. There is a problem, however, that a cell line from a 1972 abortion was used to carry out some ancillary testing of those vaccines. But the fact that zero material derived from any cell line from an abortion is present in these vaccines, that is to say, inside the syringe, which actually jabs the patient. If we end up facing a choice among multiple COVID-19 vaccines of similar or equal safety and efficacy, as appears likely, it will clearly be preferable to choose alternatives with a better ethical profile. Okay, now, and the article goes on, I don't want to keep going on it, but bottom line is, yeah, the it's so far removed that the justification for well-being and health could be a grave reason. And the society, the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, said, yeah. Now, you can say, well, I don't agree with that. Okay, if you don't, that's your conscience. Hopefully it's well-informed, and you can act accordingly. The danger comes, and I've seen this, when you look at somebody else, and you're a bad Catholic. You're a bad person. You're a hypocrite. You don't go along with what the very same things you profess. That's awful. It's hypocritical and it is pharisaical. So, how's that for being blunt? Look, I gotta go. I'm way past break. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. I'd love to hear from you. Oh, regarding all kinds of things. I'm Dr. Ray.
More than one in four patients admit to lying or omitting facts when speaking with their doctors, and doctors know it. Many believe more than half of their patients lie to them.
You're amazing, wonderful, compassionate, intelligent.
Don't let everyone else get all the great advice. Call now to speak with Dr. Ray.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Essio. I have an important message for all you homeschooling families. You can get an outstanding and fully accredited Catholic college education and save $100,000. To learn how, go to angelicum.net. That's angelicum.net. Earn 75 college credits and an associate's degree in high school for just $3,500 a year. And earn your BA degree just 1 year later at age 19. Check this out at angelicum.net.
There's going to be conflict. I want to make that clear. My concern is unity. But I don't think you can get to unity before you get to the conflict. And you have to remember, the church is not supposed to be submissive to the state. It's not supposed to be the ruler over the state, but it's supposed to be the conscience of the state. And if you ever wrestled with your conscience, you know, conscience creates conflict. So we expect conflict between the church and the surrounding culture, especially with the political order. We expect conflict among fellow Christians because we will assess the various importance of issues differently. But here's what's supposed to work. Our union in Christ is supposed to keep us bonded together so that these fights can be handled and they can be fruitful. Not the kind of conflict that drives separation. They can be fruitful conflict.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
We're doing something a little different, and it's we do it every so often. And I'm saddened because oh, there she is. Okay, she's back because it was a challenge. This is Dr. Ray Guarini. This is not Look Back Friday. This is a live program, and we do this every so often because there are people who can only listen on Fridays. And it shouldn't be fair that they muddle through life emotionally, psychologically, because they can't tune in on Friday. As a result, every once in a while, I talk one half of what I normally talk, which means since we don't take a previous call where I'm talking and then we come to me where I talk, we're going to take live calls, 877-573-7825. We're taking live calls today. No look backs. We're going to look ahead. I just want to piggyback a little bit before I go to your calls. This was sent to me by Carrie. Carrie's a reasonably content listener. No, she listens a lot. And it was a wonderful explanation, piggybacking off of my opening monologue. This is from a priest, and he is accurately communicating the teaching of the church. Now, he says, conclusion one, he had a long article, but here's the conclusions. It is clear that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are very remotely connected to abortion. In other words, not formal cooperation where you're flat out just right alongside the person doing wrong. Material cooperation comes in proximate and remote. That's theological language. What it means, remote means it's distant, removed. Aborted fetuses from the 1970s were cloned repeatedly and are used. Now, this is interesting. I did not know this, and this is going to shake you all up. If it's true, I suspect it is. Are used in the testing of every medicine in the United States. You want me to say that again? Cloned aborted fetuses are used in the testing of every medicine in the United States. Vaccines are no different here from any other medicine. Boy, I did not know that. Okay, so there you go. If you're going to say, I can't do this because of 50 year ago cloned aborted cell lines, then you're in big trouble, whatever medicine you are going to use. Get rid of the statins, right? No, I'm being facetious. The cell lines are far removed from the original acts and are copies of copies of copies. Okay. Let's see what else. Is there anything else here? This is a good thought. To help soothe consciences and provoke thought, this is the priest talking again. Let me offer some other examples of how we remotely cooperate with evil. European colonists and later the U.S. took land from Native Americans completely immorally. Most people listening to this live on that land and are not Native American. If we can have no remote cooperation with evil, we would be morally obligated to donate our homes back to native tribes and go back to Europe or wherever our families are from. Here's another one. The nuclear attack of the United States on Japan and the carpet bombing of Germany were complete moral atrocities. Yeah, according to just war theory, they were. But because of them, the Allies won World War II. Should we now reverse the results of that war because we're morally bound to have no cooperation? No major presidential candidate has run on a platform of complete moral justice. None. Does that mean I will always be forbidden morally from voting because I can't cooperate in any way whatsoever with evil? You can't live in this world right now. He says, let me be clear. No Catholic is morally required to participate in remote cooperation with evil. Though, how can you possibly avoid it in a falling world is beyond imagination. This is the clear teaching of our church that if you wish to take the vaccines, you are morally capable of receiving them in good conscience. I didn't know that. I did not know that about clone cells, fetal cells being used in every vaccine. Ooh, yo. Okay, well, I'm going to go to Mary first because Mary's thrown down a gauntlet here. Now, this is, Mary, if this is true, if what you say is true, this will be the first time this has happened in years. Not because I am so brilliantly experienced, but because I am so doggone old. And so there is very little I haven't heard. Now, I'm going to be honest, Mary. If, in fact, I have not heard it, I will tell you, I have not heard this. If I have heard this in some variant now, come on, there's virtually infinite numbers of variants in parenting problems. If I've heard it in a variant, you will have to buy me the coffee like you promised. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Okay, I'm going to ring the bell. I am.
Okay, go ahead.
So I have a son who's 16. He's on the autism spectrum.
So far, I've heard that.
If you had any kids, so I don't know if any of your kids were on the spectrum. But okay, so several years ago, we started having dialogues using this little character that I made up. And he was so enamored of the character that now these days he will only make eye contact with me or really engage in any serious conversation if I speak in the character of our imaginary friend. How's that
one? Did you see, Mary, did you see What About Bob?
No.
The movie? All right. No. In the movie What About Bob, there is this very, very hyper-neurotic patient called Bob, played by, not Dan Aykroyd. Who's Dan Aykroyd's cohort? Bill Murray, played by Bill Murray. Thank you, Andrew.
Oh, my.
Now, in this, there was a psychiatrist who wanted his children to talk to his puppets.
Yeah.
And yes, and the children went to talk to their father, and he said, talk to the puppets, talk to the puppets. Okay. Now, this is a little bit different than what your son is describing. Okay, so here's the first part of it. Have I seen something where kids diagnosed on the autistic spectrum have communication quirks? Yes. This particular one, in its exact form, I have not. So you win there. However,
I get the coffee.
You get the coffee. However, here's the big but.
Big but.
It may have been that you have trained your son into doing this.
You know, that's what my husband says, and I've tried to get away from it. In fact, we sent him away for a year, but he came back at Christmas, and he just kind of stayed. And yeah,
am I gonna carry you again? Okay, all right.
Yeah. What am I gonna do?
Here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna start out. You know your son very well, and you know. Oh shoot! Okay, don't leave me. Please don't leave me. I'm gonna take a break. When we come back, I'm gonna give you a suggestion, and I've used this suggestion many times with certain kids that have selected mutism. Which is a little bit, it sounds like what your son is doing. This is Dr. Ray, 877-573-7825. I'll give Mary a semi-stump on that one.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
Awe. I love reverence. Wherever I go in the world, I usually go to visit the religious buildings. And no matter what I see reverence. Awe. I've been in temples and mosques where I saw more reverence and awe of God than I see in Christian churches, even sometimes in Catholic churches. Oh yes, let me say it. And when I was a boy, Catholics were much more reverent and respectful in church. You never, ever spoke in church. I was a young priest. A man had a heart attack at the beginning of Mass. I stopped the Mass. We prayed for the man. While the police were coming, the ambulance, they removed him from the church. He didn't die. Not one word was spoken. The police officers and the ambulance attendants who came whispered respect. I wish it were true today.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What will eternal happiness, beatitude, be like? St. Augustine has a pleasant description. There we shall rest and see, we shall see and love, we shall love and praise. What will be at the end without end? For what other end do we have, if not to reach the kingdom which has no end? The Catechism tells us, God put us in the world to know, to love, and to serve Him, and be with Him forever in heaven. The Beatitudes present us with clear moral choices. We are invited to avoid evil, to purify our hearts of evil, and to love God above all earthly things, none of which can bring lasting happiness. Lasting happiness can be found only in God, who is the source of every good and all love. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, this is not Look Back Friday. This is Look Ahead Friday, where you call in with your calls because we like to sometimes open the lines up on a Friday. There are people who work certain days of the week, and on Friday is the only day they can call in. So Mary took up the challenge. She threw down the gauntlet. And she said, I've got a problem here, Dr. Ray, you've never heard of. Now, in its specifics, in its exact specifics, I haven't heard of it. But in its generic form, I have heard of it, and I've heard of it many, many times. Now, let me preface all this. She has a 16-year-old son who is on the autistic spectrum. And Mary has, she has used, Mary, what was it again, a stuffed animal?
No, it's a character we made up.
Okay, okay. And her son only wants to talk to the character. She won't talk to Mary. Now, Mary, I'm going to tell you the bad news.
Yeah. Your
kid probably likes the character a lot better than he likes you. Okay, that's just a thought there. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Back when I worked as a consultant to the Head Start programs, we had certain kids that were, the fancy word, and it sounds funky, but it's not, selective mutism. It just means that they didn't talk to teachers. The parents would say, yeah, they talk at home, but they don't talk to teachers. So I had to give the teachers instructions on how to get the kids to talk, and I'm going to give you the same instruction I gave them. You know your son wants to do certain things, have certain things, request certain things, right? You know that.
Yeah.
So you tell him, you have to ask me. The character can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if he says... Or he, how verbal is he, Mary?
Oh, he's verbal. He just likes me to use these voices. And I have to tell you, Dr. Ray, I mean, I got to confess them. It's a problem because I like doing things like that. My background is theater, so.
Well, does he do that with your husband?
No.
Okay. You answered the question. This is not some autistic. You did. This is not some autistic characteristic of your son. This is a dynamic that you have set up between you and your son, which is he really likes when you do that. So therefore, to keep you doing that, he's not going to respond to you unless you do that. All you have to do is to say, if you want me to take you here, or if you want this particular dessert, or if you want blah, 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 or if you want another half an hour playing your video games, you have to ask me. You can't ask the character.
What about when he just wants to talk to the character? What about when he just wants to talk to him?
I don't know how much I would do that, simply mm-hmm. because you know as well as I do, one of the characteristics of the autistic spectrum is social communication. You know that.
Yeah.
So if it were me, I'd say, no, you got to talk to real people.
Yeah. We're trying to work on that. And with isolation right now, he's an only child. So, you know, with the isolation, it's been a problem.
Tell him, you got to do something really gentle. Tell him your character's been arrested and is in jail. No, okay, no, don't do that. No, I probably not. All right.
Okay.
All right, so there's my suggestion on that. Okay, Mary?
Oh, you're the best, Dr. Ray.
Well,
thanks.
Thanks
so much.
Talk to you. All right, I'll see you. We had a question up there, and he left. I forget his. Do you remember the name of our gentleman up there that was up there and left and said, how do I justify the means, justify the ends? I think what he was saying was, if, for example, you take the vaccine, the end product, of course, is to supposedly stave off, make dramatically less likely an illness for yourself or perhaps contagiously to somebody else. And then I think his point was, well, wait a minute. Okay, so you're saying the means, which was quote unquote aborted fetal cells from 50 years ago, copies of copies of copies, justifies that. Well, no. The point, I think, was relatively clearly made by the priest. Small example. Do you have your cell phone with certain companies? Because those companies give the Planned Parenthood. All right, what are you going to do? You're going to cancel your cell phone contract? You better, by that kind of reasoning. And pretty much most of the companies give to things that you would not morally support at all. At all. But you don't know where they are. You don't know how they are. And if you found out, they're owned by a parent company. So how remote does it have to get before you say, okay, I can probably have my cell phone with that company? Dr. Bob from Howell, Ohio. Hi, Dr. Bob. How are you?
It's actually Powell with a P. But anyway, yes, about the remote cooperation, you would be astonished how many drugs we take are tested in these fetal cell lines, like even Tylenol or Pepto-Bismol. But I wanted to introduce one thing specifically about the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. They're technically not vaccines. You introduce with those two the moral issue of mutilation of the body. Now, if my finger was gangrenous, it would be morally acceptable to cut it off, to amputate it. But it would not be acceptable to amputate it so it wouldn't get gangrenous. And that's the problem we're dealing with these two mRNA vaccines. Now, the J&J one is more proximate to the evil because it's actually grown in the fetal cell lines. But so far, it doesn't look like it mutilates your DNA. There is another vaccine that may be out in June. I would recommend people hold off for it. It's called the Novavax. It's morally derived. It does not use fetal cell lines. It uses moth eggs. And it's more like a traditional vaccine in that they take the attenuated virus, not exactly the COVID-19 one. They haven't isolated that. They kill it or attenuate it and put it in and boost your antibodies. But these two that you mentioned, even though they're remote cooperation with evil, very remote, you still have that mutilation issue.
Two questions on that, Dr. Bob. One, you use the word mutilation in a very broad way, which means anything that alters something in the body. Well, the church wouldn't teach altering something in the body would be mutilation. For example, if you take an antidepressant, you're going to alter certain chemical pathways. Would that be mutilation? Or would it be just bringing the body back to a position of a proper homeostasis, if you will? That's the first question.
Well,
the second question, I know it's not a vaccine, but we just use it interchangeably. That's why they call it a shot, because it's the mRNA is a very kind of a relatively new technology, is it not?
Yes, it is. Were it not for all the publicity given to this virus, I mean, it would never be approved. I mean, people say it was never tested on animals, but the truth is it was never successfully tested on animals. You could look up the tests that were done on the ferrets. these ferrets were contacting COVID at about the same rate that we were, recovering at the same rate. But when they were vaccinated and released, they got COVID and they died. And they tweaked these vaccines a little bit and then released them to the public. So we are the guinea pigs on this.
I have heard that, and I've read it, that the, in fact, we're the testing phase right now. And in fact, they've even had some just recently. Are you familiar with this? Something come out that said that people that were vaccinated came down with COVID. So, I'm a little nervous about what the timeline holds. Dr. Bob, thank you so much for your call. 877-573-7825. I'm Dr. Ray. Give me a call. This is Look Ahead Friday. We're taking live calls today.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God, with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Dr. Ray Guarini, the only host in all of Catholic radio and now media, including television. You could take days off your purgatory because I can be so irritating to listen to. Well, since there's no time in the afterlife, we really can't say days off purgatory, but you get the idea. Reduce some of your purification process, I think, if you put up with it. 877-573-7825, that's the number to call to get onto the program, 877-57-EAGLE. As I've said often, you call any time during the program, you have a relatively equal chance of getting on. Christopher's calling from Georgia. Hi, Christopher, how are you?
Hi, very well. How are you doing, doctor?
Well, I'm good, sir. What's up?
So, I caught a brief part of your show a while ago about vaccines. It sounded like you were explaining them very well. I thought maybe towards the end you were going with the I don't want to say excusable responses about, well, there's ethical options, there's not, what are we looking to gain from this vaccine, and you covered the different ones, but and I'm sorry I got dropped from the call earlier. I heard briefly your response, you touched on it, talking about, well, you know, why don't you just drop your cell phone carrier, because some of these companies give to Planned Parenthood and so forth, when you address the end not justifying the means in this particular case. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say it was a question, but my statement regarding the vaccines was, I mean, we know that no matter how disconnected the actual vaccine at this point is from the initial abortion, we know what occurred. I don't know that the abortions themselves occurred 100% to profit vaccines, but a lot of the medical research, you could say, is questionable. And in the world we live in today, you know, the culture of death, you would have to argue that some of these things are not okay. But ultimately, and there's bishops that are speaking out against this, ultimately it comes down to the fact that we are not allowed to profit any benefit from such an evil act, no matter how disconnected from the origin.
Let me respond, Chris. First of all, one of the problems you have, did you hear our previous call with Dr. Bob?
Yes, I heard some of them.
He confirmed what was reported by a priest that's reliable. Virtually every medicine has a connection with aborted fetal cell lines. Did you know that? And he even said some of the over-the-counters, which means you can't know. And second of all, you might as well just not take anything. Because if you're going to use that piece of moral guidance, then you're done. You can't take a ton of stuff. You'd have to research every single one of them, hope you're getting reliable information, and then say, I'm sorry, I can't take Digitalis. I'm sorry, I can't take this particular brand of, diabetes. Okay, insulin. Can't take this particular brand of insulin. So that's a problem. And furthermore, you almost can't shop and buy anything because all of these companies are owned by parent companies. So if you use your philosophy, which is not the church's, by the way, the church does not teach that. If you use that philosophy and you say in any way, the most remotest way, if it's connected with evil, we can have no part of it. Well, you got a major problem. You got a major problem serving in the military. You got a major problem doing anything. You got a major problem voting for any candidate. Because many of them morally do not at all agree with you. So the church is very balanced in this. They realize that in the real world, there is remote connections all over the place with evil. So given that, that could be your personal view, and nobody is saying you can't have it. All I'm saying is you can't consistently live it. Christopher, thank you for the call. Good shot. Nina or Nina, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, from Bowling Green. Hi, Nina. Nina.
Nina.
Nina.
Hi.
Is that short for Caroline?
No, short for Fabrianina.
Oh, wow. Italian. Yes. Are you Paisan?
Me. Je suis francese. No, we're Italian, but we're also French. So
You can do both, huh? You can speak both.
Yeah, good and British. You. So, but I have a question for you, Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
We have a neighbor who's autistic. We got mm-hmm. into the discussion of he's all of a sudden wearing dresses. He's 4 years old, and he plays with my grandson, and he's my grandson is very puzzled because he's, you know, he makes Play-Doh dinosaurs, and he's got dump trucks and airplanes all over the place, and all of a sudden his neighbor's acting very effeminate, and my daughter is very worried. How should we handle this? Should we allow him to play with him if he's creating some questions for my four-year-old? He's newly four, and he's already reading, so he's got a good perception of things, but I'm just worried that maybe this might be a negative influence for him.
It depends on the level, Nina. For example, if he asked questions, I'd answer him. I'd say, well, I don't know why that little boy thinks that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why his mom and dad let him think that. I have no idea, mm-hmm. but he's a boy. He's a little boy. He's not a little girl. And sometimes mm-hmm. people get confused about who they are. Now, mm-hmm. if your little grandson takes that in and says, yeah, okay, well, he's confused. I can still play with him anyway, but I think it's really unusual that he's doing that. And it doesn't really affect him all that much. Then you keep an eye on that. On the other hand, if you see him really starting to become unable to comprehend this, what is going on here? What is with this kid? You know, now he wants to be called a girl's name. Now he wants this. And the parents are just feeding into it. Then at that point, I'd say, this is too confusing for my little four-year-old son. I'm going to probably have him play elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are those people who are going to say, oh, that's terrible. That's awful. If that little boy thinks he's a girl, then we have to accept him as a girl. You know, well, the problem is you're talking to a shrink who knows how easily little kids have problems between am I a boy, am I a girl, especially little ones. That happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So their identity, their sexual identity, which can be kind of fluid when they're little because they don't understand things like sex, the vast majority of cases straightens out to the sex they were born with. But it sounds like this mom and or dad is allowing this and feeding it.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, it's not going to go away.
Mm.
And you will watch to see how it shows itself. In what ways? You know, for example, if this kid's five and he comes in wearing lipstick.
Yeah.
Or if he's five and he says, you know, I want you to be my boyfriend because I'm a girl.
Mm.
Now, this is going to raise things that I don't think your little grandson, no matter how smart he is as a four-year-old, can really digest. And that's reality. It's confusing to him. So as I guess what I'm saying here, Nina, is that you got to keep an eye on it and say, if this gets to the point where this is so confusing, I'm going to have to just pull him back in. Now, of course, your neighbor, depending upon how she or he is comfortable with this, you're going to be very upset. Very upset. Mm-hmm. You're a bigot. Whatever you are, you're terrible, you're intolerant, you don't understand, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks my heart to see so many parents buying into this idea that a kid at age 3, 4, 5, and 6
mm-hmm.
can decide. You know, I saw an interesting meme the other day. The child is 5 years old and he's asking his father, hey, can I smoke? Dad says, no, you're five. Well, can I drive? No, you're five. Well, can I just eat donuts for breakfast? No, you're five. Can I be a girl? Okay. Yeah, it's interesting, the phenomenon that's occurring, and I think that we're not even asking questions that need to be asked. Nina, thank you, dear. Thanks for the call. This is Dr. Ray. You got one more chance of getting on, 877-573-7825 for the next segment on this Look Ahead Friday, because it's not a Look Back Friday.
I am not nice, I am not kind, and I am not wonderful.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere, and that's a doctor's order.
I really like to listen to your show. It's a breath of fresh air.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
There are legitimate differences of opinion in any religion. There are differences of opinion in Catholicism. But in Catholicism, you expect that people will take the teaching of its supreme authority seriously. To go diametrically opposed to those teachings is to not be a Catholic. Someone in the name of Catholicism is sponsoring the destruction of human life, lives of unborn children. And they got the name Catholic on the door. The highest authority in Catholicism and the encyclical Humanae Vitae, Evangelium Vitae, is absolutely clear that no Catholic can support abortion and that Catholics are responsible to take serious action against legalized abortion.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I've noticed, there is a danger. It's a cognitive danger, maybe an emotional one. People of faith are feeling progressively beleaguered by the culture around them. There isn't open persecution to the level that there is in other places, or perhaps in history, but there is an awful lot of emotional, social punishment for people that have traditional Christian practices and ideas. That breeds a level of suspicion, a level of protectiveness, a level of isolation, in some respects, from the general culture. If you see the culture as deteriorating rapidly, swirling down a drain faster and faster morally, then you don't trust it in more and more areas. Then what tends to happen is that if the culture is pushing something, your default response to it is it must be bad. It must be anti-Christian. In subtle ways, or in only ways that I see, apparently they're trying to do this to us, people of faith. Now, there's enough truth in that to make you 100% skeptical. But that doesn't mean you're 100% right. The previous caller said something to the effect that Catholics, and I'm assuming maybe the implication was very, very faithful Catholics. And again, I'm hesitant to use that word, faithful Catholics, because it implies, first of all, it implies a judgment. But second of all, oftentimes I've seen people called faithful Catholics because they're devotional Catholics. These are people who, for example, are not talking to a brother or a mother. They've cut off ties, but they go to Mass every day. So somebody says, what, a faithful Catholic? They're carrying a rosary in their pocket. So they're called a faithful Catholic, but they're not living faithfully in a lot of ways, maybe some of the most important ones. So given that, there is this natural skepticism, revulsion, protectiveness from anything that the culture says is good for you. If the culture says it's good for you, automatically it's bad for you. I profess that I've seen arguments in both cases for the vaccine. Now, see, I call it a vaccine, I know, and I've been corrected many times. I just use that word because that's the common word people understand. It's a shot, and it's a different technology. So I've seen arguments both directions by reliable people that I see as trustworthy sources. Time will tell. I think that is one perspective that you can have. But what I have noticed is there's a danger in this idea that if medicine says it, well, for example, on this program, I've had questions from people that say, is it against Catholic teaching to take antidepressants? Well, of course not. Absolutely not. Because antidepressants may or may not be effective, but some of them do help. And indeed, they can bring the body back to the place that it was designed to be. So it wasn't, as somebody was saying earlier, manipulating the body or doing something ill to the body. It's bringing the body back. So in that sense, I guess, my point is, on one hand, we understand that the culture is less and less supporting, accepting the Catholic Christian faith. That's obvious. Where it will end up, who knows? On the other hand, one has to be very careful automatically just saying, therefore, if the culture says it's good, it must be bad. That isn't the way we're called to think. We're called to scrutinize, give it our best judgment, give it our best guidance to find out exactly how to look at something. I know people that I see as very conscientious, wanting to follow Christ and his church, Catholics. On one hand, they're taking the vaccine, and then I know others who say, no, I don't want to take the vaccine for my own reasons. By the way, just as an aside, of those faithful Catholics, and I'm using that word again, who don't take the vaccine, much of the time it's not because of the long ago aborted stem cell lines and clones, because they just don't trust how this is going to play out. That's the biggest factor. Thanks for joining me. Good Lord permitting, I'll see you Monday on E-Person Monday. Thanks, Andrew Krucek, for getting us up and going, and Eric Dumont for call screaming. I appreciate the company from all you folks. Walk with God. Every once in a while, I'll turn around and ask him, am I going in the right direction, Lord? And if I'm not, yank me that way.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.